From KRCC in Colorado Springs, this is Air Check, a show about great music from the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jake Brownell, producer at KRCC.
I'm Vicki Gregor, music director and host of the Morning Music Show.
And I'm Jeff Beery, host of the Blue Plate Special.
On today's episode of Air Check, we'll hear from local band Eros and the Eschaton about their new album, Weight of Matter. Music writer John Bueno of Pueblo Pulp newspaper shares some of his favorite music from the Steel City. Musician Ed Parson schools us on the history of reggae. Electronic musician Tor talks sampling and songwriting. And we review some of our favorite new releases. All that today on Air Check.
So it's that time again for our musical roundtable where we pick a song that we've been listening to this last month and that we can't get out of our heads. And we're just going to jump right into it. So Jeff, start with you.
The song that I want to listen to is called Days Gone, and it's from an artist slash band. Not real sure, flying under the radar with this. Not a lot of information about Tor other than this new CD is called Blue Book. It's the second album out from Tor. And the song is called Days Gone. The thing that I have to admit, I've got a guilty pleasure in whatever type of music you want to call this, chill out, lounge, down tempo, house, whatever it is. I have this guilty pleasure in putting this type of music on, whether it's Thievery Corporation or Saint Germain or a group like Tor, putting the album in my exquisite car stereo and cranking it up and driving through life and having a sound. It's like I get to have a soundtrack to my life for a few minutes, and I can witness things sort of passing me by and think, wow, I'm really important, and this would be a great scene in a movie.
Yeah,
I know that. And shouldn't music do that?
It
I
should.
Mean, you're talking about this paradigm shift, this epiphany of what started out as a trip to the grocery store for TP has now turned into this brainscape adventure.
Yeah.
And you're a better person on the other side of that.
I hear you. Yeah, and this is really the kind of thing you can just let wash over you. This reminds me a lot of Fortet and Caribou, and you just can't go wrong with this kind of lush production.
And let me just say that the whole album is really nice from start to end. My understanding was that Tor, I think it's one guy, he worked on this for 2 years, and he was in different stages of his own life when he was creating this. And so it moves into some different feelings. But if you have a mediocre car and a great stereo, it's really fun to make the bass boom on it.
Cool. Well, that's Tor, Days Gone from the album Blue Book.
Well done, sir. Well done.
All right, Vicki, it's your turn.
Well, the song that's been stuck in my head this month is from a band that I've followed for a very long time, and they do little wrong as far as I'm concerned. It's the Dandy Warhols. It's from their latest called Distortland, and it's a psych pop confection called Catcher in the Rye.
catchy. That's good.
It just bounces along, and actually a little less on the psych and a little more on the pop. But you're talking about that sense of place, and I have to tell you, I always load up music to listen to when I'm flying somewhere, and Dandy Warhols always come to the top of the list for just that experience of watching people moving, getting to their planes, and I need to be uplifted at that point. And this is just one of those, hey, everything's cool. It's going
to
be
Vicky,
all right.
You said that you said that this band can do little to no wrong. And I have to disagree just a little bit. For me, the Dandy Warhols, I love this band, but I love them like 57% of the time.
Ah.
There's like a 43% of the time that I just don't care for the Dandy Warhols. But then there's these other times, like this song or Bohemian Like You, that I can just play and bop to, and it's the great. And Dig, we were talking about Dig.
That, one of my favorite documentaries ever.
That documentary about the band really hooked me and made me listen to the 43% that I'm not too crazy about. But, you know, they're kind of hit and miss for me.
Yeah, this is a band I've never really listened to myself, but I love that this sort of fat bass. That's such a psychedelic sound that's out there right now with like Tame Impala, similar kind
exactly.
of that bass sound to me is sort of quintessential to that.
Jake, what's your surprise of the afternoon?
Well, I have to pick an album by the British artist Blood Orange. Just came out, and the album is called Freetown Sound, and the song is called Hands Up.
Do you ever try and face yourself goodnight? Or is it easier with a friend? Pretend your friend's in love to end. You're just the lover.
It's a strange song, and actually kind of a strange album, in that you listen to this and it's got this kind of emotive dance floor anthem sound to it, but the subject matter is actually incredibly heavy. The song is called Hands Up, which obviously kind of relates to the hands up, don't shoot kind of mantra that has come out.
So I wouldn't have caught that. I mean, I was listening to the melody, and he's got a lovely voice, and it's kind of meandering, and I wasn't listening to the lyrics. So
right, and the whole album is kind of like that: beautiful, fun, upbeat, dancey, kind of throwback to some '80s sounds, and but then with these really heavy themes and very topical, very much reflecting on some of the big questions that are in the forefront of a lot of people's minds right now about race. And
here's what I'm thinking about this is obviously much worry and much discussion around these topics. And he's wrapping this in a more gentle kind of shell, kind of blanket. And maybe that opens the hearts of some people to hear the message, where right now their hands are up in a different way, like, no, I don't want to hear anymore.
We don't want any more.
Anyway, that's how it hits me, where you might, your guard's down, and maybe you can hear things better when your guard's down.
Good point. Right, yeah, and there's definitely an intimacy that you get from this kind of sound, and you know, you hear him, he's in the bridge, he's asking, are you okay? There's something really tender about this song that I think is super powerful.
Good choice, yeah. I have to listen to it more closely and let it sink in. Like
again, the magic of music, yeah. It draws you in, it coaxes you toward it.
Nice.
Keep your hand up when you're walking, cause they
hands up, get up. Hands up, get up.
Child's thesis with no hating.
Blood Orange, the album is called Freetown Sound. All right, well, that concludes the musical roundtable for this episode. Nice job, nice choices,
yeah,
you guys.
Too.
Fun as always. So, Jeff, for our musical roundtable, you chose electronic musician Tor. And then a funny thing happened. A few days after you picked his album, Vicky got an email out of the blue from a record company rep asking if we would like to interview none other than Tor himself.
That's right. Vicky's connected, got us a phone conversation with Tor. And like I said, I didn't have a whole lot of information on this musician. He's kind of a mysterious guy, but I really, really like his music. So, yeah, I jumped at the chance to have a talk with him, took the opportunity to ask him directly about who he is and what inspires him to make this great music.
All right, well, let's take a listen to that interview. Here's Jeff Bury speaking with Tor.
Tor, I gotta say, you are a blank slate, man. I have tried to find information for our little conversation with you this afternoon. I can't find anything. Who are you, dude?
I guess I'm a mystery. Eh?
Yeah. Where are you at right now?
I'm in Vancouver, Canada, Vancouver, BC. This is where I live. I've grown up on the west coast of Canada here.
Nice.
And I still live out here. Yeah, I'm just at home in my studio here.
So you're kind of a one-man show then. Tor is your name, is that correct?
That's my real name, yeah. And I thought it was interesting enough to use as a music name for sure.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of half expecting like a Norwegian Swedish guy to answer
well,
the phone.
Well, my family's Danish. My dad was born in Denmark, so Tor is the Danish. It's the Danish version of Thor.
Ah, so I wasn't too far off then. Nice.
No, you're definitely on the right track.
So this latest album from you, which I understand is your second album, the CD is called Blue Book. And I got to tell you, Tor, it's one of my favorite new releases. I actually picked it as one of my favorite new releases for this episode of Air Check. And
amazing! Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's really beautiful because it fits anything I'm doing. I mean, I can be zoning out on my couch. I can be driving to my mom's house. So I'm wondering what is your inspiration? Where are you finding the muse to make this wonderful music?
It takes me a long time to get it done. You know, I worked on Blue Book for like 2.5 years and just mostly me at home in my studio, just trying to find sounds or, you know, ideas or other music that sort of gets me going. And a lot of it's just hearing what, you know, other people are doing and going out to shows and, you know, being inspired by live music or I don't know, it's just kind of a feeling you get sometimes, and I just try and act on it when it comes, you know.
So where are you finding the instrumentation for this? Are you using instruments yourself, or are you sampling everything that you incorporate into this album?
It's a mix of both, actually. I mean, I came up on sampling, and I still sample a lot. I find a lot of inspiration there, too, just, you know, digging through old albums and finding little snippets or cool tones or in textures and things to use and chop up. And a lot of the time, that'll be sort of the basis of the songs. And my studio set up here, I've got everything's in the computer, but I can play. There's all these, like, really detailed sampled instruments that you can play on your keyboard, and it's actually recordings of real instruments that behave depending on how you play it. So you can, you know, I can dial up a 60s bass guitar or you know, a real symphony cello section, or people sampled all kinds of obscure instruments from around the world, and as you play the keyboard, it sort of reacts to how you're playing like a real instrument. And so I kind of start with the base of samples and then play that kind of stuff on top and sort of mix it all together.
There's some very unique vocals in some of the tracks on Blue Book. Where'd you get that? Who's I'm thinking in particular of a female vocalist. Who is that?
Right. There's a few on there. I mean, there was a danger with sampling is grabbing something that might be recognized. So I try and find stuff. The vocals, a lot of them are really obscure, kind of weird vocals from, I mean, there's one on there that's from a Estonian jazz band from the 70s that just has these sort of beautiful vocal harmonies, and it's just this sort of forgotten record that, you know, I found, and just getting these little snippets of the vocals and then chopping them up and manipulating them the song.
So I imagine you're sitting on a pretty big library, a big vinyl collection there.
Yeah, well, I'm getting a lot of it off the internet. The people have archived all this stuff on the internet these days, and there's all these, you know, blogs that host things, and I do a lot of it that way, and have a large digital collection that I just kind of can go through and find sounds.
Can I ask how old you are? How old are you, Tor?
I'm 35.
35, and you've been making music probably your whole life, I would imagine, by the...
Yeah, I've been messing around with it since I was about 18 years old, and I was away from it for a few years and came back to it when I was about 30 and decided to actually make the album that I wanted to make that whole time and sort of get a little more serious about it, and that's sort of progressed to where I'm at now.
So how are you picturing people listening to your music? I mean, like I mentioned that, you know, it really fits anything I'm doing, which I think is so wonderful about it. Is that your end goal, or do you have something more specific in mind when you put this stuff out for the listeners?
I'm not sure. I mean, people I've heard back from people on, you know, all kinds of different experiences. Like people said, they've been driving in the middle of the desert listening to it, or putting on at the beach or parties or all kinds of stuff. I don't know. Like, it's not really. I don't really have an intention of how people are going to listen to it when I make it, but I have heard back that it goes well, like you said, in a lot of situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I hope that it would work too if people want to listen and with headphones on, pay attention, and you know, that's cool too, or just having it on in the background, or, you know, as long as they're listening, I'm happy.
So this thing, this Blue Book took you 2.5 years, and I've read that it started off there. It was a sort of a different project when it started as to when it ended. Is that right?
That's kind of something. Yeah. It took so long that, and the songs are chronological as you're listening through the album.
Right.
Basically, the stuff at the beginning is stuff I made almost 3 years ago, and then the stuff at the end is, you know, songs that I just finished a couple months ago.
So life keeps moving, and you've had stuff happening along the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time, and I went through a lot through that and figuring it all out, and I think it translates. I think you can hear it changing, like, from the beginning to the end. The sound, I think, changes a bit, and where I'm at now, I feel, was very different from when I started.
So I am absolutely thrilled with the album. We're playing it here in Colorado, and I hope you can make it through. If you're going to be touring at all, you know, come through Colorado
I'd love to. I played in Denver about 3 years ago at Cervantes.
Yeah,
and it went really well, and I'd love to come back through there for sure.
So are you on to your third album? Are you making new music for the next one now?
I've got a few tracks already started, yeah, and I've got a bunch of other projects lined up in the next little while, to sort of keep the momentum going. I'm doing a mix series where I'm doing these sort of 1 hour mixes of songs that I like and that have inspired me, and I'm sort of making these mixes, producing them as like mixing them all together. So I've got a series of that I'm putting out. The first one already has come out. It's called Origins, and the next one is probably going to come out in the next month or two, and then a third or fourth one later in the year.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you making the time for us here this afternoon. The new album, Blue Book, second from Tor, is a great disc, and we're playing it in heavy rotation here. So, Tor, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That was Jeff Beery speaking with electronic musician Tor Sjogren, who goes by the name Tor. You can hear that conversation again and find links to Tor's music at krcc.org. You're listening to Air Check. Stay with us.
KRCC in Colorado Springs, this is AirCheck, a show about great music from the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jake Brownell, producer at KRCC.
I'm Vicki Greger, host of the Morning Music Mix.
And I'm Jeff Beery, host of the Blue Plate Special.
For our next segment, we've got an interview with a local band that's been doing big things in Southern Colorado, and that band is Eros and the Eschaton.
Eros and the Eschaton was started by Kate Perdoni and Adam Hawkins way back in 2013. Since then, they've been picked up by the legendary record label Bar None, which released their first album, Home Address for Civil War. They've played shows all over the country, and their music has been featured everywhere from Stereo Gum to a commercial for the surfwear company Billabong. Their second album, Weight of Matter, comes out this month, and we invited Adam and Kate into the studio to speak with Jeff Beery and to give us a sneak preview of a few songs from the record.
All right, let's take a listen.
Kate Perdoni and Adam Hawkins from the band Eros and the Eschaton here in the studios this morning. Thanks for coming in, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to be here.
Brand new album that's yet to be released. You're going to have a release date on the 19th of August. New album is called Weight of Matter.
Yes.
Yes. And a new Bar None recording. Let's talk for just a minute about this Bar None business. For our listeners, let me just give you an indication of some of the bands that Bar None has worked with. They might be Giants, Yola Tango, 10,000 Maniacs, Luca Bloom, Esquivel, the old studio recordings of Esquivel, Juliana Hatfield, Evan Dando. Great list of artists, of which now you guys have two records out on Bar None Records.
Soon to be.
How did this happen? How do you get a record deal with a national and really international label?
I mean, it was a total fluke. We're just really lucky. We just released one video. We hadn't even played a show yet together. We were living in North Carolina, and our buddies who do a roving like videography tour, so they'll go on tour and tape music videos of bands in different cities. They asked us if they could come to Greensboro, where we were living at the time, and shoot a video of us. So we had to learn quickly a song. And we performed it, and we'd been recording and experimenting, you know, with our first record for a while, but we'd put a few songs out on Bandcamp. So essentially, we weren't really a real band. And so we released this video through Love Drunk out of Omaha, Nebraska. And the Spinto Band is a band that used to be on Bar None Records, and they had also done one of these Love Drunk videos. So Bar None saw the Spinto Band video, and then it flipped over to our video next, because we were next on the line.
You were like on the B side of the
Spinto Band. Yeah, and they watched it, yeah, and they loved it, and they emailed us that day. So.
And they checked out, I think we had like two songs posted online at that time.
Yeah,
and they checked out what we had online, and we're just kind of curious what we had going on.
So you got a record deal without even having a record.
We never even
or pitched. A band.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's funny because think about how much work, you know, we've both been in bands for, you know, the better part of our lives at this point. So how much work goes into kind of pitching and getting your music out there and kind of, you know, sending demos. And I used to send demos to Bar None when I was a teenager.
Well, the new album is very nice. You guys are masters of the shoegaze pop sound. I'm a big shoegaze fan. And I've seen you perform, Kate. You're kind of a shoegazer performer. The new album, Weight of Matter. And I, you know, I picked a couple of tunes out of this that I'd like to play. The first one, it's called Cry. And you pointed out to me that Cry is a classic country standard covered by the likes of Tammy Wynette. And who wrote this?
It was written by Churchill Coleman. And Johnny Ray was the first person who had a hit with it in 1951. So Churchill Coleman.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, he was an African-American songwriter who wrote this song, Cry, while I guess he was working in a dry cleaning factory as the night watchman in Pennsylvania.
Interesting.
So, yeah, but Tammy Wynette's version, you know, Willie Nelson, et cetera. Just a song I grew up with, really.
We're going to juxtapose these. We're going to play the Tammy Wynette, and then we're going to play the Eros and the Eschaton version.
Cool.
If your sweetheart sends a letter of goodbye, it's no secret. If you cry,
if your sweetheart sends a letter of goodbye, it's no secret. You feel better if you cry.
It's a poignant breakup song. It just like the old standard?
It just was one that when we listened to it, we really liked the song. And I kind of had a vision of how we could do it right away. And then we did it, and it came together really well. And we actually didn't record it with the intention of putting it on the album.
Hmm.
And we were putting the kind of the final tracks together for the album. And
just noticed just that it fit.
Kind of a last second thing. We're like, why don't we just throw this song on there?
Yeah.
So do you think it'll show up anywhere else on some country standard shoegaze compilation
yeah,
disc?
Probably sometime.
That'd be so cool. I love it. Another tune that that really stuck out when I listened to this was Shadow Forth.
This is kind of bizarre, but this was actually an outtake from the first record. So
really?
The song Shadow Forth actually appears on the first album as a shoegazy, loud rock and roll song. And that's how we play it. But we had recorded this version, and again, it was like we were kind of piecing together the album. You know, you look at the whole landscape of how the album flows, and this song was like a nice kind of little reprieve. It's just an orchestral arrangement that we worked out while we were living in North Carolina, and we didn't do too much else to it to kind of get it album ready for this one. So,
well, let's have a listen.
Place I knew I'd be. The
wrote this song in my early 20s when I was living in Minneapolis. There's a line in the song that, so I was writing this song up in my room, and I went outside to smoke a cigarette, and this guy walked by with his little son, and the son looked up at me and he said, "How you doing, Snowflake?" And I was like, "That's it." And I went upstairs and like wrote that into the song, so it's "How you doing, Snowflake."
Wonderful. Shadow Forth, available on the new album Weight of Matter, new from Eros and the Eschaton, the album out end of August, available on Bar None Records. Art, I'm going to give you guys the choice to pick a tune off of the CD that you like.
I would say Weight of Matter. It's the title track for the album. I don't know if it's going to be a single, but I think it deserves to be. And this is a song that my buddy James Finch from Ames wrote, and then we rearranged it and changed it quite a bit.
Who is James Finch? James Finch.
He's an old buddy of mine from Ames. He and I played in a band together probably almost 15 years ago. And when we were recording the first album, I contacted him and said, "Hey man, do you mind if we use..." Because he doesn't really play live anymore at all. So I just asked him if we could use some of his older songs. And he's always writing songs. So I just kind of asked him if he'd be interested in being essentially a ghostwriter for the band. And he jumped on board, and
cool.
Yeah, so he's our mysterious ghost member.
Let's hear it. Weight of Matter, title track to the new Bar None release from Eros and the Eschaton.
With the weight of all this matter, I am shocked we haven't shattered. Let's get sick, dear. Let's get better. Let's free ourselves from this tether.
Love it. So we should also credit your band members, Alex Koshak on drums, Mitch Makura, he's playing keys on the album, Ryan Spradlin, bass, and as you just mentioned, James Finch, who is the ghostwriter of this song, old buddy.
Yep.
So, Kate, Adam, what does Bar None Records insist that you do that you wouldn't otherwise be doing as musicians? I mean, this is a national label with a serious artist roster. Do you have to do in-store performances in Little Rock, Arkansas?
I think the coolest part about Bar None is that they don't really expect us to do anything that we wouldn't normally do. Like, we're still very much in control of what we're doing and what where we want to go. And they have input into that, and they push us to do more, and then they also kind of tell us, you know, we think it'd be a good idea to do this sort of thing, but we're still very much in control of everything that's going on. They're super great to work with in that regard. They're not trying to control anything.
So following up on that, Adam, what input did they have in this new album? Where did they tell you to go that you maybe wouldn't have thought of, or where did they push you?
We turned in kind of the first batch of rough mixes, and they gave us maybe a paragraph of, you know, feedback, and it was all simple things, and at the end they said, "This is just what we think, we trust you guys, you know, you can listen to it or you can totally disregard it."
Yeah, it was kind of cool because when we did give them the final mixes and stuff, we got to have kind of the phone conversation, like conference call with them, that I think I've been dreaming of my whole life, where, you know, since they have so much history and working with all these amazing artists over the last like 30 years, you know, they would say stuff like, "Oh, this song and the theme of this song reminds me of this They Might Be Giants song, and this is what they talked about and we talked when we released it." And so they just had all these really cool, like, lines of connection, like, right, through music history. So that was kind of fascinating.
Very cool to be tied into that.
Yeah,
for sure now.
Yeah,
you guys
for sure,
are,
right?
You guys are making your mark, showing up in Spin Magazine, Denver Best Of shows, South by Southwest, commercial, great success. Thank you guys for coming in, spending your time with us this morning. Thank you guys.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Yeah.
That was Jeff Bury speaking with Kate Perdoni and Adam Hawkins of the band Eros and the Eschaton. Their new album, Weight of Matter, comes out August 19th, and they'll be throwing an album release show at the Flux Capacitor in Colorado Springs that happens August 26th. You're listening to Air Check from KRCC.
So next up on Air Check, Jake, you talked with music writer John Bueno of the Pueblo Pulp newspaper, and he shared some of his insights.
Yeah, so we called John Bueno up, and we wanted to talk to him about Pueblo, about the music scene down there, about some of the great bands that are playing. And you know, we here are no strangers to the great music that has come out of Pueblo over the years. Probably the best known example would be the Haunted Wind Chimes and the various related projects there. But we wanted to see what else is going on down there and what other bands John could tell us about. So gave him a call, and he had some great songs to share.
All right, this is Jake speaking with John Bueno from Pueblo's Pulp newspaper.
John Bueno, Pueblo Pulp, contributor, music writer. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So we've asked you to come on the show today to talk a little bit about Pueblo and the music scene in Pueblo, and we're going to hear from a few bands that you think are particularly worth noting. But first, I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about the scene in Pueblo, about what kind of music is big right now and kind of what's your sense of the pulse of the Pueblo music scene at the moment?
Well, so I've been around it for probably about 15 years or so. And I've seen it kind of ebb and flow from being pretty much like hardcore punk and punk influenced to being like a little bit of metal, but then there's a lot of stuff going on. Like there's like indie bands springing up. There's like ska bands and people doing blues and kind of Americana stuff. So it's kind of all across the board, like a lot of DJs and a lot of hip hop stuff like that. So it's cool. It's a good time to be here, I think.
And so I guess let's just jump right into it. So we asked you to pick three bands that you wanted to talk about from Pueblo that are playing right now, that are active. Who's the first band that you'd like to highlight?
Because they've been around for a long time and they do really like genre bending music. Let's talk about Sonic Vomit. I think they're fantastic. They've had a few different incarnations. They've been like a four piece with vocals at one point, and now I believe they're a three piece that does instrumental music. But it's this kind of weird, spazzy, like hardcore, grindcore, but then they have these really pretty bits, and they also do like the 8-bit Nintendo kind of tones on top of it all. It's just, it's weird, and it's should be off-putting, but it's really fun.
If you had to kind of place this into a genre or put it next to another band, how would you kind of orient yourself with these guys?
Oh, man. It's a little difficult with them, but I guess you could say, like, if bands like Dillinger Escape Plan decided to, you know, play music at the same time where they're playing Nintendo, maybe, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. But yeah, they're really fun, really, really interesting music for sure.
So that's Sonic Vomit out of Pueblo. What's the next band that you'd like to talk about?
Oh, this is one I just saw the other night. They're called Bodark, and they are a rather young duo from here in Pueblo. They do like this really energetic kind of folk music. Well, not so much folk. It's like indie Americana type stuff.
Uh-huh.
Very Lumineers-esque, I suppose. There's not too many bands that can be a two-piece and still sound really full. And they make it happen. They're a male-female duo, and they're fantastic.
So let's take a listen to a song that they recorded actually with Pueblo Pulp in a sort of live-in studio session. The song is called Puzzle Piece.
I swear the only sun shines through your eyes.
it's a very a lush sound, like you said, for just two people, and the harmonies and the kind of the way that everything comes together. It's beautiful.
You know, to me, the thing that catches me is that they're so young. I think they're probably between 18 and 20, and they're already writing this music that's very, very almost beyond their years. It's smart and it's engaging, and they really have a good sense of dynamic. They're taking like these kind of bigger artistic steps right away rather than waiting till like they're in their mid-20s or 30s. You know, that's what really gets me about them.
Just give a piece of your mind. My heart's open all the time.
So that's Bo Dark, and we should emphasize that is spelled BOISD'ARC. Kind of a tricky name there.
Yes, a little difficult if you're looking for them online.
That brings us to our final pick here. What's the last band that you'd like to highlight?
The last band I'd like to talk about is a band called Counting Constellations from here in Pueblo. They are probably one of the prettiest bands I've ever really gotten to witness here in town, like a local band. They do like a very lush, kind of dreamy, shoegazy indie rock that's, again, instrumental, but it's just very, it's very expansive and super pleasing to listen to.
It's kind of got almost a post-rock sound.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's full of melody, but it's still not abrasive or harsh, but it still drives when it needs to, I guess. You know what I mean? It's very driving.
And so these guys don't really have much out there on the internet as far as recorded music that I was able to find, but would you say that the scene in Pueblo is very much a live scene, people kind of coming out to shows, playing shows, and that the live music scene there is accessible in a way for new bands, for up and coming bands?
You know, it's very accessible. It definitely ebbs and flows like every other scene, but I think what always happens here is bands work very hard because we're a little bit segregated from like the ease of Northern Colorado. You know, there's tons of places in Northern Colorado. There's places to get exposure, stuff like that. There's, you know, a way to kind of meet up with other nationally touring bands. And it's harder down here. So bands definitely work harder for probably half the reward. But it's not really a bad thing, because I think everybody can kind of learn and make mistakes and kind of thrive without anybody noticing, almost. And then once you have something you're comfortable with, you bring it out. I mean, I've gotten to talk to a lot of Springs, Denver bands who come down, and a lot of them are really impressed by what's going on here. It's a small scene, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot of people who are, you know, working very hard to keep it going.
Well, John Bueno of Pueblo Pulp, thank you so much for taking the time to highlight some of the music that's going on in Pueblo and talk a little bit about the scene down there.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a lot of fun.
That was Jake Brownell and John Bueno of Pulp Newspaper speaking about picks from the Pueblo scene. You can find links to music that you heard in that segment on our website, krcc.org. You're listening to Aircheck from KRCC. Stay with us.
La 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 la.
RCC in Colorado Springs, this is Aircheck, a show about great music from the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jake Brownell, producer at KRCC.
I'm Vicki Greger, host of the Morning Music Mix.
And I'm Jeff Beery, host of the Blue Plate Specials. In our last segment today, we invited a special guest into the studio here at KRCC, Ed Parsons, a.k.a. Archtop Eddie. Archtop's been playing music here in Colorado Springs for decades. First time I saw him was with his reggae group, Raku, back in the 70s. Great, great experience. He's also formed groups that involve gypsy jazz, ensembles like Mango Fandango, the Surfin' Djangos. And most recently, his latest thing is a rock steady ska band he's calling Mo Mungus.
You know, Jeff, what's so cool about Ed is he has a real intellectual interest in the history of music. He knows so much about the genres that he explores and plays.
And the cultures that they come from.
We could have talked to him about a myriad of things. We could have talked so much about many other genres, but we had him focus in on reggae music. You know, it's summertime, and what better match for the summer than reggae music? So I asked him to give us a little lesson on the history of that genre and explain why he loves it so.
Okay, here we go. Ed Parsons, a.k.a. Archtop Eddie, speaking with music director here at KRCC, Miss Vicki Greger.
That girl gonna make a mind if it takes some night.
Something I know you and I have had a conversation about before, sometimes when people think about reggae music, they simplify in their mind what they think a reggae beat is, but you've actually explained to me in very beautiful detail what you're listening for and what you're playing against when you're in a reggae band. And I think that's what people heard in Raku. It was more than just like, hey, a reggae band, a good time. It was really beautifully done music that was very authentic. Now, you write all the way through this, too, with all of your bands. You've recorded, you've put bands together, you've been a band leader, you write. And so my question there is, trying to be original and authentic within a genre that's been so beautifully defined. How do you write? What's your process to sit down and compose your own stuff?
You know, it's kind of interesting to point that out because on one hand, I'm not Jamaican, and yet I've written a lot of stuff in that genre. I'm not a gypsy, and yet I've written stuff in that genre. And then also jump blues and that stuff, you know. I guess in some ways I'm lucky because I spent so much time growing up in Japan, I didn't really feel like I had a certain set genre or something that I had to stay within.
Mm-hmm.
And so as far as how do I write within that, reggae came to me, writing reggae came rather easily to me because it's a feel situation with reggae. You know, I've thought a lot about what that means, the feel of reggae music. And for all the different instruments that are playing and percussions and everything else that's going on, it almost all comes down to one thing in reggae, and that's off the three. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three. The reason I say that is because that's where they usually put the one drop, which is a style of drumming where everything hits together on the three.
Okay.
And so if you're following along from the three, then you can just move to that. You're not trying to move to every sound you hear. You're just moving to that count of four with the emphasis on the three. And ultimately, you can peel away everything from it, which is what dub music is. Peels away the vocals and peels away different things and goes into abstractions of various sorts, but it's staying with the feel. And so you could actually peel it all away. That's what I think is so cool about it. You could get rid of every single thing, including the drums, and have silence and still be feeling it internally. And so once you know that, then that's how you listen to reggae music. To me, anyways, you know, other people probably feel differently about it. But for me, that's how I started listening to reggae music. To me, it was kind of similar to like if you were taking the concept of Gnosticism in religion, which basically means the knowing of God versus the believing in God. And Rasta once said, believing is 50% doubt. And so if you know something, you don't even have to have it there to know it. And that's what I think is just wonderful about reggae.
Beautiful explanation of reggae. And that unwritten thing that speaks to people that they might not even realize that's what they're feeling, that's what's in their heart. That's, you know, that's where you get wide-eyed and think, oh my gosh, it's my DNA is resonating here.
I realized that I was very interested in early reggae, and I didn't really have any idea what to call it other than early reggae. And Dave Gwynn, who's the drummer for my band, he said, oh man, what you like is rock steady. So boom, I go and start studying about rock steady. And it turns out rock steady only lasted 18 months from 1966 to 68. And it was after that it became reggae music. And so what you have is in that period of contemporary popular Jamaican music, you had ska music that started around 1960. And in 66, it in the summer, all of a sudden it became rock steady. And then by 68, end of 68, it was starting to be reggae music. I just loved that little period of music, and I only to come and realize that some of the older Jamaican people consider that their golden age of contemporary Jamaican music is the rock steady period. So I like to call it the sweet spot between ska and reggae. It's rock steady. You bring me joy in the morning. In terms of what rock steady music or reggae or ska comes from, is historically there was the ska music in the early 60s, and ska music, many people associate that with what we call the third wave of ska music, which was bands like Madness and the Specials from the 80s. And many people were first exposed to ska at that point. But that music had a tendency to be really influenced by punk music and some of the harder music. So whereas that kind of music might go something like really hard, like that, you know? And the Jamaican music that it was influenced from, which is from 1960 or a good, what was it, 20 years earlier maybe, okay? The Jamaican music was a little lithier sounding, and My Boy Lollipop would be a good example of it. But so let me see if I can do, it would be something like. So it would have a feel like that in order to do that kind of early ska music. But in 1966, the story goes that it was such a hot summer that people didn't want to dance to ska anymore because it was a little bit faster. And so they slowed the music down to half speed. So ska, rock steady really essentially is that same sound, but at half the speed. So now with ska again, rock steady. Now, why that was so important is because ska was going so fast that the only way to really play bass to ska was pretty much a walking bass, like in bebop, jazz. It's about the only way to play the bass is some kind of walking thing. And the drums just kind of hang in there. But when the music slowed down, two really important things happened to those instruments. One, the bass was now, instead of just doing a walking bass line, it was now able to do actually patterns. Like that. And the drums was able to put in that critical one drop at the three. Pop. And that's what kind of defined it. Now, by the time it got to reggae, it actually even slowed down more, and the predominance of the bass and the one drop became even more so, and that was essentially the birth of what we know as reggae today. Let's see, it'd be more like, and they usually went to regular major chords. So there you go. That's ska, rocksteady, and reggae.
So that was Vicky Gregor speaking with Ed Parsons, a.k.a. Archtop Eddie, of the bands Raku, Momungus, Surfin' Django's, Mango Fandango. To hear that interview again, you can head to krcc.org. Aircheck is a production of KRCC in Colorado Springs. For KRCC, I'm Jake Brownell.
I'm Vicky Gregor.
And I'm Jeff Beery.